Thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together. Thank you, Lord, for the good weather that is here. And that, Lord, we're going to have a good time. Now we're going to go to the Word. Quicken us that we may be able to receive it and put it to work in our lives. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for we know, Lord, that through it, Lord, that we have victory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we've been starting to talk about the helper. Okay? That's his understanding how the helper works for us. How he is our helper. And he's engaged in all the different things that we do if we let him. See, there is a part we play in which we allow him to become involved in the things that we do. He will not interfere if we don't allow him to do so. He's going to leave us free to choose. That's the way God works. He doesn't intrude. He wants to be asked in. But when we give him a chance, then he can release his ability, his power, his direction, all the different things that he can do for us so that we benefit from it in all so many different ways that it changes completely our life. It empowers us to do things beyond what we can ever imagine. And this is the most exciting thing, to realize that, you know, we can actually have the best of the best lives that we can ever imagine for anybody, because the Holy Spirit dwells in us and works in us to guide us and to enable us to achieve God's purposes in our life. So we have seen how, you know, we had to recognize his presence to start with, within us. It's not automatic. It's not that he's going to do things if we do not realize and cooperate with him. That's why he's called the helper. You see, he's not the intruder. Is the helper, the one is behind us and help us in doing the things that we need to do, but empower us to do more than we can do ourselves. When we realize that, then it becomes our desire and our plan to actually find any way possible for us to get them involved. And often the problem we have is that we don't know how to go about doing that. Because we have religious ideas about the way God works and how the Holy Spirit works and what to expect. And we put limit on what God can do. You know, Israel, you know, was limiting God all the time in the things that God wanted to do for them. And so we had to learn to remove those limits and to allow him to start actually doing the things that he's planned and he wants us to experience. So, you know, this was the big purpose that Jesus came on earth for. Yes, he came to forgive our sins and to take our place and everything else. But that's just the beginning. Okay, that's just the way for us to get into the dimension of life that God wants us to have. This is where it starts from, because without that we cannot connect with God. But God wants to do just more than just wipe up the messes we have done and the mistakes we have done and our limitations. He wants us to fill us with your Spirit. He wants to dwell in us, to enable us to do the things that we ourselves cannot do. So, but we have to realize that. You know, and the world cannot understand that. You know, the thing is, the ability to be able to move in that dimension starts with us allowing Him, recognizing what Jesus has done. As we recognize what He has done for us, and we receive, and then He gave us, as it says in 1 John 1:12, you know, He says that He gave us the ability to believe, by believing in Him, you know, to become the children of God, or to the authority, the right to become the children of God. But God doesn't want children. God wants sons. And that is what, so that's just the beginning. The world cannot even understand, because really doesn't see it, doesn't understand, is not there. Because they did not accept the starting point, cannot believe what God wants to do with us. So this is the starting point. And so from that moment on, there are decisions, steps that we can take. But the final purpose that God has for us is for us to work together with Him. This is His desire. You know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and I'm going to tell you something that I actually kind of saw it for the first time myself. Although this scripture I just quote and preach about it so many times. And in one of the scriptures that I always like most. Okay, still, you know, after so many years, I found out something that I couldn't quite grasp before. Okay, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "And therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." You know, the way this verse is generally interpreted is the fact that now there is no condemnation. I mean, now we don't feel guilty. And that's not what it means. See, the word there actually is katakrina in Greek, and it means not feeling guilty or that kind of a feeling thing. That's nothing to do with feeling. Has to do with the pronouncement of a verdict. So this is actually that there is no judgment and a verdict on us anymore. The curse is broken. Do you see the difference between the two things? It's not just a personal thing that we can go around and say, well, you know, I don't feel guilty anymore, I feel good. Yeah, that's there too. But that's not the most important thing. There is nothing hanging on your head anymore from God's point of view. He's wiped it off. There is no pronouncement anymore from the sin of Adam and anybody else, or even yours. Do you see the releasing of freedom that just that idea gives to you? How much better is to think that, you know, I don't feel guilty now. It's not that, you know, that's nothing compared to the other. See, that one is subjective, the other one is subjective, is outside there, is what God has done. That's, you know, really can make a difference in our walk. Realizing that there is nothing hanging on us anymore. Then goes on, say, you know, now the key things though is here. You know, just let me go back a moment, step there. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, it just doesn't stop there. I mean, that situation, that position that we have, comes by our walk. See, we had to learn to walk not in the flesh but in the Spirit. That one makes the difference. Thou art putting us in a position of freedom, and freedom from the accusation and the judgment from God. If we walk in the flesh, we end up falling into that again because we end up doing the wrong things. But when we walk in the Spirit, we automatically walk in freedom. Hallelujah. And then goes on expanding on that. In the verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You see, often the way people read that is for the law of the Spirit of life, and that's not what it's saying. But it's for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You see, the life comes because we are in Christ Jesus, and that's the law of the Spirit in operation inside us. That one makes the difference. Set us free from the other things. That is actually saying, you know, if you listen to what I'm saying now, I'm saying exactly the same thing I said before in the previous verse. Praise the Lord. All right, so this is a great promise. This is a great promise from God for us to receive, to appropriate the fact that we don't have any condemnation on us. We don't have any judgment anymore. That we can go to God in freedom with knowing that there is nothing hanging on us. Hallelujah. And so the curse is broken. It's broken. We are no longer under the curse if we walk in the Spirit. See, the thing is, the key thing there is to walk in the Spirit. And to walk in the Spirit, then we have to understand how we are going to be able to do that. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, you know, for he who is joined to the Lord is one in spirit with him. You see, how this is how we end up walking in the Spirit. I mean, if you are joined with him and you are one spirit with him, then and the Spirit rules inside you, how else can you walk? It's not a question that you are trying to do the right thing or trying to be good or trying to deserve God's approval. It's just the fact that you are in a communion with him, and because you are in a communion with God, you are going to walk with him, and the way you feel and the way your spirit is working is the same spirit that he has, and you are joined with him so that you walk together. You see, this is the law of freedom that comes from being with him and being set free. It's not effort, it's not trying to be something that you are not, it's being who you are. All things have passed away, all things are of God. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 17. Amen? Hallelujah. See, when we walk in the Spirit, your desires, you know, will be the Father's desires. Because the same Spirit is in you. Your actions are going to be Jesus' actions. Your results are going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And signs and wonders are going to come after you. Why? Because the same Spirit is in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You know, you start walking that path and you start experiencing the presence of God inside you. It changes everything. When you meet obstacles and difficulties and things and temptations and so on, this is the way you overcome. It's not because you are trying to make it. It's just that with the Spirit inside you empowers you to overcome. You just yield to what is in your heart. Are you following me? See, this is the way God wants it. God doesn't want us to make religious. Jesus didn't come to make us religious. He came us to make children of, to make us children of God, and to grow into sons of God, so that we see and our desire, our heart is with Him, and our heart is to do God's will, and our heart is to reflect what Jesus did and what Jesus achieved for us, so that it's manifested in our life. Praise the Lord. See, the final purpose of God is what this is the plan that He has for each one of us. Doesn't matter who we are. You know, it's not somebody, it's, you know, a minister, it's somebody. All believers are called to the same call, to be transformed into the image of His Son. See, this is the call that we have from the beginning. This is what He planned from the beginning. That's what He wanted to have before the fall of Adam. And Jesus came to establish it again, to break it up, what was done and the mistake that was made before, so that we can move into the dimension that God has provided for us already. And He planned all the time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 says, We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. You see, the thing is, it's really working together with Him. This is our commission. You know, when Jesus left and left the commission, He didn't say just, you know, well, you know, if you are a minister, you are a pastor or something, you know, go and preach the gospel to all the creatures. He said too, these are the signs that follow them that believe. Any believer is equipped, if he's a believer and the Holy Spirit fills him, to do the things that God wants him to do. Whatever function they have in life, because there is, no matter, you know, we have all different functions in different areas, but that doesn't matter. It's not that somebody is better than somebody else. We just have different functions. Just the same as Paul saying, you know, there are different parts of our body. They have different organs and they do different things. It's not one, you know, not my liver is more important than my heart. If one of them breaks, I'm in trouble. Amen? Well, the same thing in the body of Christ. See, we all work together. We are His body now. And He has prepared us so that we can operate, and He equip us to be operating that way. That's why He provided the helper, because we ourselves cannot do it. See, Jesus Himself, everything He did not because He was God, because when He came on earth, He let go of all the prerogatives. And He operated as man, Philippians chapter 2. So He operated as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. And so what He came for is to release the Holy Spirit, to release the helper for us so that we can do the same thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we had to realize that we have been hired. If we are born again and we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, we are hired. Hired to do the work. Hired in God's army. Hired in God's family. Because this is a family business. We do the business, our Father's business. Amen? The church is not just an organization. It's family. Working together for the same Father. And He's not somebody's more important than another. If we all contribute our part, the things that we God has assigned us, the gift that has given us, then the whole thing works well. If we don't, it doesn't work. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's continue on. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he says, in the acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You see, there is people often find themselves in position in which they don't know what to do, because their mind can't grasp. They don't have the wisdom to make the right choices. But see, Christ in us is wisdom and power. So if we connect with Him, if we connect with the Holy Spirit, then He guides us in the things, and so we are not anymore blockages to be able to move on in the things that God wants to do and in the things that, has planned for us. As long as we realize that, as long as we don't get idols, as long as we don't get going after things that are not what God wants us to do. Those are the idols. See, it starts this process the day that we get saved. And then what happens, people think, now, because they've been trained in the world, they've been trained at everything you had to do. You had to go through the schooling. You had to take years of education before you are able to do the things that you had to do. But it's not that way with God. You see, He puts you in His training school so that you can do the things you had to do right there, right then, if you listen to. You see, He guides you in the training. It's not the physical training that you get from the world, or even just studying. Yes, there is a studying to do, which is to go to the Word. See, that's the basis. That's what creates the starting point. See, when I remember when I got saved, the first things I did is buy myself a Bible. Nobody told me, but I did. And I started reading. And I tell you, at the beginning, I didn't understand very much. I mean, it sounded pretty difficult. But, that's the problem. You see, our mind, when it's been trained in the world, cannot understand spiritual things. See, to be able to understand spiritual things, we had to receive the understanding and revelation from the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that opens our mind to show us spiritual things, because spiritual things were not the things we experienced. We experienced physical things. And so we need to learn to work at a different level. We need to learn to walk in a way that we start to walk in the Spirit instead of walking in the flesh. As we learn to walk in the Spirit, then things start to make sense that before didn't make sense. In this walk in the Spirit, there is so much that, after 40 years that you've been born again, you still learn every day new things, because the dimensions open up. More time goes by, and the more you can see there, and the more exciting the whole panorama gets. The horizon expands in ways that are beyond what you ever could imagine before. And the reason is that your eyes got open. Before, they were closed. Before, there was a veil in front of our eyes, closing the ability to see what is actually was there. It's been there all the time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, we had to learn to see. It starts with the step of accepting Jesus. We accept Jesus and we start seeing things differently. Our heart changes and everything else. Our heart becomes a flesh. It's not hard anymore. And we start becoming more sensitive to those things. But we have to learn to change our mind and our way of thinking so that we start thinking the way God thinks. That is a process of learning. You know, we have been programmed by the world. And we had to deprogram ourselves to program ourselves with the Word of God. And it's a choice that we have to make, and this is a work that we have to do. But you know, you can study the Word and get nothing because you do it just with your mind. You can be there reading and reading and even quoting verses and everything else. You don't know what to do with them. It's only when the Holy Spirit quickens to you. You see, spiritual things, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, you know, need to be spiritually discerned. That means you have to be able to understand them with a spirit instead of with your mind, so that after it gets, you see, this is why it's so important. Once you learn, you know, you got filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what makes a big difference, you know, between being just, born again and spirit-filled. It's a different, you open up a different dimension. Okay, there is an opening within yourself. It's not outside yourself anymore, you know, it's within yourself, in which the channel between your spirit, the Spirit of God, is more open. And it touches even your mind and your body. And so the transfer between the Spirit of God, your spirit, and finally your mind, it becomes much more powerful. There is much more going through there. Than before, it's like, you know, before there is a little hole, and here there is a big pipe there between the two. So there is a big difference in your ability to receive, to hear, to understand, and to appreciate what He has done for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So this is why it's so important when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, the gifts of the speaking in tongues makes all the difference. Why? Because that is, you know, an outflow from your spirit into your body, because your body is affected directly on your tongue. You may not understand the thing, but there is a spiritual transference of power, life. To remove all the hindrances to understanding, to enable, to put light. You see, He is the illuminator. He shed light on darkness. He shed understanding where there is not understanding. And so when we understand, you see, has to be transferred. It takes time to do that. But as we are open and as we are seeking, as we are willing to ask. You know, the most important thing that we often don't do is to ask. You know, generally we ask for material things. Well, often we should ask for spiritual things. You know, one of the most important things to ask is, what do you want me to do now? Not tomorrow, not in 10 years, just right now. You know, if some of you have that experience. You know, you lose something and you look all over the place to find that thing and you can't find it. Finally, you give up and say, God, please show it to me, and you bump your nose against it. Why don't we ask before we go through all that wasted time? See, but the same thing happened for our walk. See, that you know, I'm using that example because that example shows you something that actually you experience. And so because you experience, you can connect to that. But when it comes, for example, to know what God wants you to do in your life and how God is going to direct you, we want to Him to give us the plan 10 years from now, when instead we should ask just in front of your nose, what is my next step? And we will find out quite a way, because that's simple to do. It's not too complicated. We want the whole picture, when instead, you know, you don't know 10 years from now what's going to, if it's going, Jesus is going to come back anyway. So the idea is not, that shouldn't be concerned us. See, that's the problem with many new believers, that they expect to figure out everything instead of really saying, God, okay, what do you want me to do today? And He'll tell you. He'll tell you. You'll find out. And when you find out, you see, the thing is, do it. Because if you don't do it, you wasted your time. See, so is because, you know, things, life becomes so much simpler. Because things start to fall one after the other in the right direction. You're starting to build up. But you have to always be there asking, what next? Instead of doing your plan, they generally are big plans, try to resolve the whole things and everything else. No. Don't worry about that. Try to see what you have to do now according to His idea, not your idea. You see, His ideas are always better than our ideas, because He knows what's going to come after. We don't. We cannot know everything. But He's there. See, that's why He's the helper. See, He says He's going to show us things to come. What does it match? That's what the scriptures say. So if we need to know what next, He's going to show us, call on the Holy Spirit, says, you know, Lord, what is next? This is His job. Instead of us putting it on our shoulder, try to figure out stuff and try to know that we can figure it out very well, and we end up making mistakes, ask Him. And He's going to give you the direction that you need. He's your helper. He's the helper. He's somebody that helps you, not somebody that creates problems. He helps us in so many ways, but this is a simple, easy way that can be starting right when you're born again, right at that time, and He's going to guide you into His path instead of a worldly path. Are you following me? You see, if I would have understood these things 40 years ago, my life would have been so much easier, and probably I'd gone much farther than I have gone. But you see, nobody told me this stuff. Mostly they gave me religion. And that doesn't help me very much. Didn't help me very much. I had to struggle through that stuff. I needed to take steps and to shake that stuff off before I was able to actually listen to what God was saying. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we, you know, God has a plan for you, if you realize it or not. Okay? And that is the best thing that can happen to your life, because He loves you and He made you for that. You see, that's why you are made that way. Many people don't like themselves because they would like to be like somebody else. And, you know, and that's the first mistake that you make if you do feel that way. God planned you that way for a purpose. When, you know, if you have if you are square and you try to fit in a round hole, it's just not going to work very well. So you have to learn to see what works. God's way works all the time. Because He knows. He understands. He made you that way. So instead of fighting against the pricks the way Paul said it, you know, you just go along with Him and He's going to guide you into all things. He's a good God. He's a loving God. And He's there for us, not against us. Praise the Lord. You know, we are immersed in the world, and, you know, the world is caught up. We have to be careful not to get caught up with idols that or values that are worldly, because those are the things that hinder us from our walk. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, you know, one of the things that happen is this is going to affect, you know, our attitude, the decisions we make. It's going to affect, you know, the way our behavior, the way we relate to other people, the way we respond to the environment and everything else. It's going to, you know, changes everything, because He's going to start taking the initiative. You know, He's the helper, huh? So, but He is not the leader. He's the helper. He gives us the ability to make choices. So when we make choices, He helps, and we make choices in His way, He's there to help us to progress. When we don't make the right choices, well, He's not going to be interfering. It's, you know, your choice to say, well, you want to do that? Go ahead. I have nothing to do with that. That's the way it works. And then we wonder why it didn't, you know, that failed, or that didn't work out, or this, you know, just got hurt or whatever, because we didn't all listen. See, this is His desire instead is to help us. And He does it in so many different ways. You know, one of them is to give us a direction inside on for our decisions. See, our decisions often are determined by our desires, isn't it? What we want. And our desires are connected to what? Our values. Okay, what we think are important, what we want, you know, really. The thing is, if we are influenced by the world, what happens? That our desire and our values become idols instead of being what God wants us to have. And so as a consequence of that, our decisions are going to be slanted that way. And when God says, no, don't go that way, go in the other way, we don't see matching with our desire. And we decide, nah, I want to do this way. And the result of that is that we don't do very well. So we have learned. We have to learn. See, we don't have much time, so I'm going to, you know. God waits for us to make the right decision and to take the right steps to be able to empower us to achieve His purposes. I probably couldn't have told you that 3-4 years ago, because I did not understand it the way I understand it now. The thing is, you know, see, for example, the operation of the gifts. Okay. The gifts, like when I called for the person with the problem in the leg, you know, if I would have not called that, see, the Holy Spirit gave me the word of knowledge. Wasn't written on the wall. There was not, just it was inside a hint in that direction. Just happened like that for a second. I could have lost it. I probably lose many times. The point is, at that moment, I can focus on what took place, because at that moment, I was asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? Is anybody that needs prayer? And the first things came to me was that. By the way, how is the leg? Okay? Good. Praise the Lord. So, but the idea is this. You know, I could have said, well, no, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm making it up. And be quiet. Said nothing, and she would still have the leg hurting, and it would be in the same place it was before. But I took the chance to follow what the Holy Spirit was telling me, and he was able to perform. I wasn't fixing her leg, because I can fix legs. But he could work through me in obedience to what he told me, and in obedience, and according to the obedience that she had in responding to that, so that he could actually work what God wanted to do in the first place. So we both were obedient, and he could achieve God's purposes for her at this particular, for today. You see, but if I would not have asked, number one, if I would not obeyed, if I would not have taken the step off to speak up and to do it, nothing would have happened. She is there to help. When I asked for help, he helped me. But he didn't just help me, he helped her. And so we helped each other. Not only that, but she had an experience because she saw God working in her life, and I got an experience because God worked in my life. Are you following what I'm saying? See, this is what I'm saying, is the helper. Because he helped in everything, but I had to do something, and she had to do something. And that is the way God works all the time. You see, he just doesn't work by himself. He works through us. That's the way he worked through Jesus too. Praise the Lord. All right. Isn't God good? I mean, he's there to minister to us, to take care of our needs, and to help us to overcome, you know, even small things. It doesn't need to be big. You know, that's the way, you know, little thing by little things, the things grows. And so when we can follow with small things, he can then use us for bigger things. Praise the Lord. Well, I think I'm going to close for now. You get anything today? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, let's close in prayer. Why don't we make a confession? I like to make confession. All right. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
For your goodness.
For
giving us the Holy Spirit as our helper. We are going to listen to what he tells us. We are going to ask him for his direction so that we can know the things to come, and we can make the right decisions, and you can have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.